Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm super excited. You excited?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We came to the right time, at the right place, at the right time, in the right place, at the right time. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can't remember exactly. I know what it was. I was having a conversation with a sister in the faith this week, and this message dropped in my heart. Praise the Lord that day, and of course, I put it together shortly after that, and God's been giving me more and more on it every single day since then. So I'm just excited to get to preach it tonight. But before we get into the service, before I preach it, I need to have a warning. We need to put up a warning first, if that's okay. So if we can do that, can we go ahead and play that warning?
Warning! What you are about to receive will not work if you are unfaithful. It will be ineffective if you are not in the will of God. If you purposely live in sin, this message will not apply to you. Conversely, if you are seeking to have God's plan in your life, the activation of these principles will bless you indeed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know, I just did that for a little lightheartedness. It's a good thing that we have, you know, this technology and stuff, because I know if Jesus had that, he probably would have done the same thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. If he had technology and a Pastor Scott, praise the Lord, because that's who we use, amen. But glory to God, that only cost us $1,000 to get that, but I thought it was well worth it. I'm just kidding. That didn't cost us anything. He did it as a friend, praise the Lord, and I'm thankful for technology and people who know how to use it, amen, because I don't and I can't, hallelujah. So, well, praise the Lord. But, you know, even though it was lighthearted and I had to do it joking around, obviously, there's a lot of truth in that, amen. We have to connect to the Word of God. We have to decide that we want what God has for us, amen. Or it's not gonna affect us. So many Christians, they live daily without what God has for them, and that's only because they don't connect to it. They never get serious about it, amen. Praise the Lord. And that's you can tell a Christian that's serious. I heard a message today, just a clip of a message. It was by a I just love this minister, Jesse DePlantis. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he had this message, and it was called "I'm the Christian that the devil warned you about." Amen. Praise the Lord. And he was talking about sin, and this guy that was coming to him, you know, for counseling, and kept talking about falling into sin all the time. And he's like Jesse, I just don't know why I do. And he's like, I don't want it. He's like, yes, you do. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, you haven't learned to hate sin yet. He's like, how do you know? Well, why do you say that? He said, because you haven't stopped sinning. Once you learn to hate sin, praise the Lord, I need to learn to hate some sin. Amen? Isn't there some areas in our lives we need to learn to hate? Just despise it. I mean, when we know that it's displeasing to God and we learn to hate it, praise the Lord, we'll get blessed. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is called Bigger Your Believer. Amen? Bigger Your Believer. Hallelujah. They didn't have my notes ahead of time, so they're going to have to bear with us. They didn't get to put it up there, but we're biggering our believers tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what this message pertains to is not your neighbor that's a believer, or your spouse that's a believer, your children that are believers, but it's the thing that you believe with. Amen. It's your faith tool. Hallelujah. It's your heart. It's on the inside of you. But we need to bigger it. Amen. It's very important that Christians learn to think big. And that's really what this message is about, is thinking big. You know, we are plagued in this area with what we have dubbed a poverty mindset. Plagued with it. It's terrible. You go to other places, and I was a person personally who was very consumed with it. So much so, I still am working some of that out of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even knowing what I know and what the Bible says, I'm still working that poverty mindset. Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, don't get scared. I'm not going to just be talking about offering tonight, or I'm not going to be just talking about money, but I'm talking about a poverty mindset. Why specifically a poverty mindset? Because a poverty mindset will keep you from walking in the things that God has for you. Yeah, it will. A poverty mindset, thinking from a poverty mindset, will keep you from walking out the promises of God in your life. It will. In anything that pertains to God. If you think that you can't, then you won't. If you're sure that you can't, then you won't. If you're not sure God will, you won't. Praise the Lord. That's just the way that it is. A poverty mindset is, I mean, I see people that will, they will get so upset over something that's $5. Amen. They'll think that, you know, it's just the end of the world. Instead of just letting it go, praise the Lord, or blessing somebody with it. Amen. I have seen people absolutely moved emotionally to tears from giving them $50 or $100. No, we should be excited when somebody, the Lord blesses us through somebody else, but that shouldn't move us that much. I'm telling you something. I want to be moved. If you're going to be moved, be moved by something big. Yeah, be moved by $1,000. Be moved by $10,000. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just talking about money, but the idea is bigger, bigger, bigger. We always think so small. Well, you know, there's so many people. You know, when you go out to, again, I'll use California as an example. I just took my son there, and I kept pointing out to him, that's a church, that's a church, that's a church, that's a church. And we're not talking little podunk churches that are, you know, 3,600 square feet. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm not calling this a podunk church because it certainly isn't. God's doing big things here. Amen. Right. But I'm not talking about a little building. I'm talking they build multi-million dollar buildings. They're huge harvest barns expecting God to fill them. Amen? Why isn't that happening in the East? Because of poverty mindset. It's because, I like my small church. You, if you're a Christian, you should like nothing small. Maybe your waistline. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like a smaller waistline. I'm kind of getting comfortable in the one I got. Amen? Praise the Lord. We just don't want to expand that too much more. But we need to expand our believers, amen? We need to get thinking bigger about things. There's a harvest out there. You know, I was told this morning, I was asked to pray about for this man that I went to school with. And they just sent him home. He's they sent him home to die. He's full of cancer, you know. And I was moved not so much by the idea of that. He's a guy I remember from high school, but I didn't know him well. You know, we had a big class, 400 some people or something like that. But I remember him from high school. It wasn't somebody we necessarily hung out with, but we wouldn't have been mean to each other either, you know. But as we went to, or as I was going on my day after this, it bothered me a lot. And I went before the Lord and I was like, God, is there people I'm not reaching? You know, because that was the question in my first, when I hear somebody's dying or about to die, the first question in my mind is, are they saved? No. Yeah, I mean, I think about that all the time with people. Are they saved? When somebody tells me somebody's about to die or somebody died in their family or something, the first question I always think of is, are they saved? Are they going to heaven? Why? Because nothing else really matters at that point. I mean, if you die or if you're about to die and you're going on, you better be going to the right place. Amen? Nothing else in life would matter. But, you know, I wanted to make sure that I'm reaching the right people. Like, Lord, I want to have the influence on the people I'm supposed to have influence on. Amen? You can't do that with a small mentality. You can't do that if you're always thinking small. If you're always thinking, listen, you guys ought to understand, I'm already building another church here in Mayville. Amen? I'm already doing it. I've had that thing built. It's, you know, twice the size of this one. Praise the Lord. Why? Well, Mayville's only got 1,600. I don't care how many people Mayville has. The other surrounding areas have a lot of people, too. People need Jesus. They need to know the Lord. They need to get acquainted with Him. Amen. And we're never going to do that by little thinking. Amen. If we have a church full of people that are little thinkers, we'll never get there. Why? Because every time something, listen, if you're in this church, you should know by now that this is a church that takes up offerings. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a church that's going to continue to take up offerings. And you might as, if you're uncomfortable with it, you might as well just get comfortable with it because that's what's going to happen. Amen. Why? Because we're doing something. Listen, you can't continue to do things if you don't bigger, you know, the things that you need to go out and do that. Amen? You know, I gave the example before how when we look at a storefront or something like that, just to rent a storefront, it starts $500-$600 a month. You know, if we're gonna plant churches, if we're going to grow, you know, you think about a building. I mean, the next stage, we got into this pretty easy, but the next stage isn't cheap. Amen? You see, there's always something more to be had, amen? And we need people who think big in order to get there. Like, because the vision is not about necessarily the offering, or it's not about the finances, but it's about what's attached to it. It's about the lives that are changed, amen? I want to reach as many people as I'm called to reach, not just a few. You know, if you're happy with a church that is just so big, and you say, well, I just want a small country church, well, you don't have any idea who your God is. Because God doesn't just want a small country church. God wants churches everywhere that are filled to capacity and overflowing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. There is an attack and a resistance on big thinking. Amen. There's an attack on it, because if you think big, people want to hammer you. But then there's also a resistance to it. There's a resistance in us. There's a resistance that the devil puts up against us, because he does not want us getting into more. Amen. And I'm going to say something. This is just on my heart to say, and I'm going to say it right now. We need to think bigger in our own personal lives. And that's really what this message is about. It's not just about thinking bigger for the church or thinking bigger for Christians, but thinking bigger in our own lives. If you can be happy with what you have, and you should be content with such things as you have, like the Bible says. But just being content, contentment does not mean not desiring more. Contentment means you're perfectly fine with what you have, but more is always good. Amen? Is more of anything. Have you ever eaten a really good meal and wish that you just, you know, have you ever had a really good meal and wish that you had room for more? Yeah. Amen. That's the way I am. I'll eat a really good meal, and that's the way I am when I eat sushi. When I eat sushi, when I'm done eating sushi, I've never finished eating sushi and thought I wouldn't like another roll. Praise the Lord. I always look to my wife and say, man, I would really like another roll, and I wait to see what she says, because if she says I can have one, I'm going to get another one. Amen. Praise the Lord. She rarely tells me to go ahead and get another one. Praise the Lord. Well, because there's, you know, well, praise God, hallelujah. Any muscle not fed or worked will not grow. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of these things that came to me, and I'm going to have a lot of them that I'm going to read to you about this, and as it pertains to this. Any muscle that is not fed or not worked will not grow. Amen? So when we think about our faith, faith is always about reaching forward into more. Faith is always about forward thinking. Faith never rests. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think I said it in here, but I'm going to say it now. Faith is kind of like, it's kind of like breathing. If you stop using faith, you might as well be dead. Because if you stop using faith, you are dead. Spiritually, you're dead. Praise the Lord. You don't have anything else to offer, because faith is something that we're supposed to live by. Amen. We're going to get to scripture here in a minute. Praise the Lord. Faith is our spiritual muscle fed by the word and worked by the doing of it. Amen. So we feed our muscle, our faith muscle, by the word, by reading the word and finding out what belongs to us. And that's what's nourishing us. Amen. But then it's worked out by actually doing it. We work our faith as we put faith in practice. Praise God. We see in, I think it's Revelation 3, it talks about the Laodicean church. And the Laodicean church was criticized by Jesus because they didn't, or rebuked by Jesus because they didn't, because they got to a place where they were comfortable. And they didn't keep exercising faith. Faith is something we need to continually exercise. And faith for growth is something in our own lives. Praise God. I have learned this about my life. God will start in my own life. He always, everything that we do in public, we'll do at home first. And so whatever we're going to grow into, we learn it first in our own household. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith is our spiritual heart. Praise the Lord. The heart, as long as we are live, never rests. Amen? That's one muscle. It doesn't matter what you do, that muscle just keeps going and going and going, right? Is there anybody who their heart stopped beating? Anyone had that happen? It's not good when it does. Amen? Because you stop living. Amen? It's amazing that, like, what is it? 8 weeks, I think it starts. Is that what it is? When a woman's pregnant? About 10 weeks, somewhere around there, where the heart starts beating. Earlier than that? Am I right? Somewhere around there. Anyway, it's real early. It's in the first few weeks. The heart's one of the first signs, praise the Lord, that and it keeps going until a person dies. The heart never rests. Praise the Lord. That's the way our faith should be. Our faith should always be moving. Amen? The heart, as long as we live, never rests. It always is pumping life to the rest of the body. Similarly, the faith should never rest. It should never get to the place where it's just comfortable, where it's just okay. Praise the Lord. We need to be people who are reaching for more. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to understand that our God is a God of more. He wasn't a God of just a little. I love the examples. You know, God could have created one tree, but he didn't. He created thousands of trees. He could have created one flower, but there'll be thousands of flowers in one species, praise the Lord. I think if you take orchids, for example, there's orchids that are just, it's amazing how many different species or different kinds of orchids there are. See, that's the way our God is. And he gave us these things as an example of what our lives should be. Why would God make everything in creation abundant and then leave his most prized part of creation without? Why would he do that? Does that make any sense at all? No, if you've ever made something, I'm an artsy guy. I'd make stuff and build stuff. And you know, every once in a while, I got this one picture. Actually, my son has it in his bedroom, Caleb. But I usually would draw pictures in about 3 to 4 hours, roughly. It would take me to draw most of my pictures that I would draw, and praise the Lord, I used to have art shows and stuff like that. But this one picture, I really wanted to spend time on it, and I really wanted to give it, just do something real special with it. And I made it really big, and so I worked much bigger than I ever worked, and I spent probably an equivalent of about 40 hours worth of drawing. I mean, I'm there with the pencil and then the pen, and I'm just inking it, and it's like over the course of like 40 hours, right? Well, you know, this picture is framed and matted real nice, and it's hanging on a wall. And we put it on display because it's something that's special and precious. Well, the same way, we are special and precious to God, and we look around at all creation, and then yet we doubt that God wants us to be blessed, that God wants us to be full, that he wants us to be active. Christians were never, God's people, we're never meant to be broke or to be defeated or to be sick. God needs us to think bigger, amen? And the first place we start doing that is by looking around at creation. I want you to do that. You know, Jesus said to look at the birds when you have doubt about what whether or not you're going to have. He said, look at the birds. I'm not trying to up Jesus, but I'm just going to say, look at creation. Look at everything. I mean, you look at the birds and how many amazing different kinds of birds there are, and God clothed them, and he actually used the flowers of the field as an example. And he said, and Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed as nice as one of those. And he said, if he would do that with them, which die, and they're here and gone, how much more? How much more for you? Amen? Praise the Lord. But see, we have to think bigger. We have to be people who stop stopping. Amen? We need to stop stopping with our thinking. We need to stop getting to that place where, hey, you know, it's okay. I'm going to get into some things, even some things that just this afternoon, Revelation, as I was meditating on the message, things that came to me. I'm just so excited to get into them. Well, let's start with Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Praise God. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's Isaiah 55:8. God is so good. You know, it never ceases to me. We saw a YouTube clip of this guy who is saying 10 things or something like that that you should never, Christians should not believe. Yeah, and he said, if you go to a church that preaches these things, you need to, well, he did say pray and then run fast. But yeah. But, like 9 out of the 10 things were things that we preach here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wanted to reach to that YouTube and smack this guy. Hallelujah. But I didn't. Oh, it was just so annoying. But he was like sitting there trying to use reasons why it wasn't true. And I'm sitting there thinking, everything that he mentioned, I can refute with multiple scriptures. Not just like, and when I say multiple, I'm talking biblically multiple. I mean like hordes and hordes of scriptures, amen? And this is one of the things, he's like, God wants you, God wants you full, amen? Like, you shouldn't believe that. Well, praise the Lord. Isaiah, go ahead and not believe that. I'm going to just keep believing it and living in it, amen? I'm going to tell you that right now. Listen, this is what it comes down to. People argue about tithing and stuff like that, but I'm going to tell you what, I've seen it work. So I ain't going to stop. So you cannot do it. It ain't going to be any skin off my back. If you choose not to do it, I ain't going to argue. You only got to argue about it. I'm just like, you know, family churches are full of people that are doing their best to live by the word, and they're full of people whose lives are changing. Isn't that pretty amazing? You know, we're not going out there. You know, somebody accused us once of the church giving you money back because you tithe, so, or paying your bills and stuff. I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, they said that's why. How can you give? You can't give 10% plus and then still pay your bills and stuff like that. Because I would talk about how bills would just get paid like out of nowhere, like, and we couldn't do it. And they're like, they accused the church of giving money back to us. Praise the Lord. I ain't met a pastor who's been giving money back yet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It rightfully so. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, you know what? I have never asked my church for one dime for us. Never. We have been at the, when we were reaching up to touch bottom when we came in the church, we have never asked the church for one single penny. Praise the Lord. Actually, even when I went to work at the church, I told the pastor, I said, if you want me to, I'll do it for free, because I knew I had to be there. Yeah, I was willing. I was like, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be, so if you can't pay me. There were several times I even went to him, and I said, he actually told me to tell him how much I wanted to make and how much I could have made and how much I decided to make were two totally different things. It was less. Why? Because God's my supply. I said, God's my supply. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you just look around. I mean, people are doing the word. They're getting blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean that you're going to get everything instantly and everything's just going to work out instantly. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm preaching this message tonight. I just hope you know that. I'm getting all the way through it. Praise God. Because I got till tomorrow night. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Praise God. That tells us something really important there. What does it tell us? Our thoughts, they're not his thoughts. They're not the same. I said they're not the same. So what does he tell us that for? Just to say, ha-ha, your thoughts are different than my thoughts. My thoughts are better than your thoughts. Look what. No, what does the Bible say? Romans, it tells us that we are to transform our mind by the renewing of it. Amen? Remember we read that recently? Do not be conformed to this world, but transform. Transform. Remember, it means to metamorphosize. Praise the Lord. It means to make completely new. So what could we say with that? According to the New Testament, see, we read the Old Testament through the light of the New Testament. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. He didn't say stay there. Does it say stay there? He says his thoughts. He's saying naturally speaking, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Listen, when you came in here for your first time, you weren't thinking the thoughts God was thinking. You were hoping. Amen. You came in with a hope, but you didn't come in with the thought that God was thinking. Praise the Lord. How do I know that? Well, because if you had been already thinking the way God was thinking, you'd have been here before. Amen. And you wouldn't come in not smiling. You wouldn't come in here not knowing. You'd have come in here knowing, and you'd have been expecting. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you would have been leaving with something. Amen. That's how we come into church. We got to learn that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, aren't you glad? His thoughts are not our thoughts, but it does not say stay there. You know how many Christians stay there? They say, okay, my thoughts are not God's thoughts. Well, praise the Lord, he thinks higher than me. I guess I'll just never get there. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us because our thoughts are not his thoughts and because our ways are not his ways. So he gave us the Holy Spirit and said, hey, follow this guy. This guy, I'm going to put him on the inside of you. You just follow him. Guess where he's going to take us? Yeah. It said, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own accord, but whatever he hears from the Father, he speaks. Amen? So when God says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, praise the Lord, we got the Holy Spirit to find out what his thoughts are. Amen? And his thoughts did not tell you to think small. Praise the Lord. How do we know that? Because for as the heavens are higher than the earth, right? So are my ways higher than your ways. My ways, his ways, are higher than our ways. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? Your way won't get you very far, will it? Amen? Your way might get you down the street. Your way might get you to the gas station, but your way ain't going to fill the tank. You ever been there before? You ever gone to the gas station and just put in $10 because that's what you had? You ever put in just $5 because that's what you had? Oh, I've been there before. Yeah, that's not God's way. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, back in the day, kids don't do this. But back in the day, I lived bad. When I was in high school, I lived like an idiot. Praise the Lord. So I had things idiots get. Amen. But I would skip school and I would put lunch money into my gas tank so I could go driving. Amen. Yeah, because I had a couple bucks. I knew what it was like. You know how far you could go on a couple bucks. Yeah, back then it was a lot farther than you can go now. Amen. Praise the Lord, barely go around the block anymore. But praise God, we got somewhere and we did it by the gas. Sometimes, honestly, we didn't have enough to fill the tank. Man, if I could have filled the tank, I might not have come home that night. You know what I'm saying? No, praise the Lord. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to think God's thoughts. That's why the Bible says be transformed, be metamorphosized, because your thoughts are not my thoughts. So be transformed into my way of thinking so you can think different. But see, so many Christians, they don't. They still come to church, praise the Lord, if they come. They come to church broken and defeated, and they're always, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, if you're a Christian that lives that way, you need to transform your thinking. You need to bigger your believer. Amen? Praise the Lord. Actually, I'm going to tell you something. There's not a Christian I know that doesn't need to bigger their believer. There's not one that I know. Amen? I include myself in that. We all need to step up into something more. Praise the Lord. God is a big thinker. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 tell us God is a big thinker. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. So you can see that. Have you ever flown in an airplane? Praise God. You know, you go up in an airplane. You know, 35,000, they fly generally about 35,000 feet in the air. That's big. That's up there. You know, when you're up there, you can see a lot. Yeah. Amen? But when you're up there, you know that you're not even close to the outside. Yeah, for as the heavens are above the earth. So even though you're way up there, you know, that's kind of a picture of us. We can sometimes get some lofty ideas. Amen? Sometimes we can get 35,000 feet off the ground. Amen? And you think you're doing pretty good. But you know what's funny is when you're 35,000 feet off the ground, God's still miles above that. He's still miles above that. Praise the Lord. I heard this said before. You know, people are thinking of buckets of water. God's thinking of oceans. Amen? Praise the Lord. He's not thinking about just a little bit. You know, man, glory to God. Hallelujah. God loved green, didn't he? Didn't he love green? I mean, just painted. He thought about green. I like green too. Amen. You know what I mean? I like to have green in my pocket. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Don't you like to have green in your pocket? Praise God. I think that's why they painted money green. See, Americans were smart. They painted their money green. Why? Because God liked green. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, it's not wrong. It is not wrong to desire to be better off. What's wrong is covetousness. The Bible talks a lot about coveting money, and when he talks about the evils of money, it's always in the line of coveting it. What's coveting it? Well, that's all you think about. That's all you do. That's all. Listen, it did not say that all you think about is lots of money is coveting it. If you constantly thinking about how much money you don't have, you're coveting money. Yeah, coveting works both ways. You know, some people sit there and think, well, just the rich, they covet money. No, the poor covet money more than the rich do. Why? Because that's all they talk about. Amen? In this country, the poor people, poor Christians, will lay down all their morals and vote for somebody that promises them more money than they will that promise them. I don't care what they do. Why? Because my God's my supply. My government certainly isn't. Who I have in office, they're not my supply. Now listen, there is a principle that it's nice to have a good person in office, because when we have good people in office, we can use our faith for other things. But the truth is, Christians don't. They're just not. People aren't believing God for bigger things. They're not. Listen, this country, I love this guy. The way this country was founded was absolutely amazing. And some of the things, the thought processes, I urge you, go to Washington, D.C., and look at these structures that they built at some time in the past. They don't build like that anymore. Go to Arlington National Cemetery. Go look at the Capitol building. Go look at how they didn't spare any expense. Why is that? Because there were so many people back in that time period that were religious. They were building. This country was built by God. You understand that? I'm not saying that everything that's happened here has been God. That's not the truth, because people will do with what they will. But this country was built and created by the Lord. The blessing of God was all over it. And that's exactly what people are like nowadays. They're like, well, let's just build it cheap because, you know, you know, it costs a lot of money to do that. You could use so many other things with that money. You see, abundant God, there's never lack. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, turn with me to Psalm 37. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, go look at the way things were done. And then look at the way things are done now. Man, you know what? I don't want things. I don't want everything to be just the cheapest, chintziest, run-of-the-mill stuff. You know what kind of towns are built out of that? They're towns that are dead. Have you ever noticed that? You go to areas that are prospering, and one thing that you'll notice about an area that prospers is it doesn't look like a dump. It doesn't. There isn't vacant lots, overgrown lots with graffiti everywhere. Where do you find that stuff? You find it in poverty-stricken, godless areas. Yeah, absolutely. That's where you see everything, because they don't take care of it. Amen? When you go to some of the nicest places, whether it's a city or the nicest areas, they have people keeping it clean. They have sweeping the streets and doing things, picking up garbage and all this stuff. Amen. They make it something. You know, we were just in Times Square, and you go to Times Square, and it's not really, you know, but we're going to use some of it because there's so many people there. So what they do is they just to impress. They have these billboard screens that are as tall as buildings. Amen. One of the building that the ball is on, the crystal ball there that drops at New Year's Eve, the building that's on is completely empty on the inside. Yeah, there's nobody in it. There's a big screen on the outside of it. Amen. And that's where they get their money from advertising. They don't even have to have people in it. But you know, my point is that it's so impressive there. There's so much money. I mean, those screens, you're talking about millions and millions of dollars just for one screen. And they're everywhere there. See, you don't see, there's people that are, you know, there's cops there to keep things in order. There's people there, there's vendors everywhere. Why? Because there's money there. You understand? See, only where there's poverty is where you see things broken apart and falling down. Amen? That's why it makes sense that we invest in things. Amen? You invest in your home. Listen, there's so many Christians. There's a lot of stuff. I'm going to just warn you here. There's a lot here. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of Christians that have their lives are falling apart. They let their houses go. They let their cars go. They let everything just fall apart and get old and crusty and nasty. And then they wonder why God ain't blessing them with more. God can't bless you with more if you're gonna live like that. If you're gonna be a bad steward of what He gives you, God ain't gonna bless you. I'm just telling you. Amen. There's a reason. Listen. And my mom. I remember this. My mom's always told me this. I love this. I love it more now. Amen. But my mom always told me this when I was growing up. My mom, when I was a baby, my mom was like just about as poor as you can get. Amen. And she had absolutely nothing. But something my mom always told me, she said, I don't care how poor you are. She said, there's never an excuse to be dirty. Never an excuse to be dirty. She said, I don't care how poor you are. There's never an excuse to be dirty. You look at most people that live in poverty, they live in filth. Most, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm just, that's just the way that it is. Across the board. When I went to Rio de Janeiro, I saw the poorest of the poor. I saw poverty so poor that you can't even fathom it if you've only lived in this country. But I'm going to tell you right now, it was filthy. It smelled like a dumpster everywhere you went. Not the whole city, but where the poverty, they call them the favelas, where they were. Why? Because poverty is not of God. Poverty is not of God. God never created things impoverished. How do we know that? Look at the planet. Look at you and I. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I think about that too. You know, you people that want to argue about God and stuff like that out there in the world, just think about the human body, all the different processes, and think if you were going to make something simple, if you just wanted to make something work, you didn't need to go through all the process of making it work. Do you know there didn't need to be two sexes, right? We didn't need to have males and females. How do we know that? Well, don't amoebas, don't they split? Just kind of, there's two, amen? Why did God have to make, see, these are things we have to, according to evolution, it does not make sense to have two sexes, and furthermore, it doesn't make any sense to make more the way that we do. It doesn't. It makes zero sense whatsoever. That's not the simplest way. It's this very complex, you got to think about these things, amen? You know your pastor does. Amen. Where were we? Psalm 37, 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Praise God. Think big. You need to think big. If the desire of your heart is just to get your bills paid, that's not thinking big enough. Why? Well, because, you know, can you imagine if a genie was real, and you got that the genie bottle, somebody said it before you, said, here's a genie bottle, giving it to you, you got one wish, you rub it, the genie comes out, says, he'll give you one wish, and you say, well, you know what, I want most of my bills paid. Who'd wish that wish? I just want most, I'll give you anything you want, I want to get almost there. I want to get most of the way. See, that's poverty thinking. That's poverty mentality. That is not what God has for us. Who wants to get part way there? No, I want to get all the way done. I mean, imagine a doctor going to get a job at a hospital, or a guy who went to medical school and he's go to a hospital and get a job, and he says, well, wait a minute here. It says that you didn't finish your degree, but I got most of the way there. Do not desire. Most of the way is not desirable. Is there anybody? Your surgeon about to come in, and they gotta open you up and take some stuff out and put some stuff back in. And your surgeon comes up to you and says, "I just want you to know before we start this process, you're there on the table, you're on the gurney, you're on the gurney, the lights are on, and he leans over just before you're about to go out, and he says, you know what? I got most of my degree. I learned most of what I was supposed to do. But they didn't really cover this kind of stuff, and I didn't really have time for it. I was busy doing other stuff. Nobody wants most of the way. Don't you want exceedingly abundantly? Don't you want over the hill on the other side? Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone who has dreamed about, listen, praise the Lord. If you live in a trailer, I am not looking down on you. But is there anybody who is really, that's like if they had a gazillion dollars, praise the Lord, Donald Trump isn't buying a trailer. You know what I'm saying? Why? He builds mansions. Amen? He doesn't build a little camper. Amen? He wants mansions. Rich people, they don't go, you don't see rich people, generally speaking, if they're right in the head. You know what I'm saying? They're not building a cabin out in the woods unless they just want to go there and play or something like that. But they're generally thinking bigger. Amen? That's the way people need to be. Why? Because our God, if he just told us here, he wants to give us the desires of our hearts. Now, we're going to get into this and study this out a little more. But he's telling us there he wants to give us the desires of our hearts. Are we really going to say, well, I just want, you know, almost there. I want a Ford Fiesta. You remember Ford Fiestas? God, I know you'll give me anything I want. I want a Ford Fiesta. No, you don't. No, you don't. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, exotic cars, you know, something like Jaguars and stuff like that, you know, they don't get good gas mileage. Why? Because the people that afford those cars, they don't care what the gas is. Amen? They don't go to the gas station and put $5 in. They send Jeeves down, he fills the tank. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? See, that's the way Christians need to be. Listen, I am not talking about coveting money, but I'm talking about thinking bigger. We need to be bigger thinkers. Why? Because if you're not a bigger thinker, you're never going to be a bigger thinker here, and this church ain't going to go nowhere. And I want this church to go somewhere. I want this church to reach people. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have never had a problem spending money. I have never had a problem spending all the money I got. Have you ever had a problem with it? Have you ever been like, man, I just got so much money, I can't spend anymore? How many people have been there? Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to see hands, praise God, hallelujah. But see, that's where we need to be. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. Trust in the Lord and do good. What is it to trust in the Lord? Trust in God, listen to this. Trust in God is not believing that He's put you through something because He loves you. It's believing that He will get you through something because He loves you. It's not believing that He's put you through something because He loves you. It's believing that He'll get you through because He loves you. That's the difference between right thinking and wrong thinking. That's poverty mindset versus not poverty mindset. We haven't even, see, that's a problem. We haven't even come up with a name for the other thing. What's a non-poverty mindset? Abundant mindset. Abundant life. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, if I could change the name of this church, that's what I'd change it to. I ain't joking. Abundant life. Why? Because that's what we're teaching here. Amen? I want people to live abundant life. What is abundant life? It is a life where you are sold out to God, where you follow His plan exactly for your life, and you walk in everything that creates. Yeah, amen? Some people are like, well, abundant life, you talk about abundant life, they're talking about having more money. If you think it's stopping at money, well, praise the Lord, poverty mindset. Yeah, because God's so much more than that. Amen. I'll tell you what right now, when you have lost your sanity, there is no amount of money that means anything to you like your sanity would. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful I got sanity. I got that through the Lord. Where do I get a balanced mind? Through the Lord. Hallelujah. That's worth gazillions of dollars. I'd take all of Donald Trump's money and pay for that. Amen? Praise the Lord if I didn't have it. Yeah. Trusting God is not believing that He will put you through something because He loves you. It's believing that He will get you through. He's getting us through. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's stay right there, but flip over to Proverbs. Well, just go ahead and look it up here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think they can pull it up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hallelujah. I got to get there faster. Well, you could have turned there with me, I suppose. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But keep your finger there where we were. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what it means to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Which ways are we going to acknowledge Him? All of our ways. What does that mean? It means everything we do, we should be acknowledging God with what we're doing. It means when you marry, you need to be thinking about God when you marry. It means when you go to work, you need to be thinking about God when you go to work. It means when you're deciding where to put money, you need to think about God when you're putting your money. Yeah, because sometimes that's in the hand of somebody else. Praise the Lord. We got some money. We were saving some money for certain things, an investment. Praise God. Just a little bit. We just put a little bit here and there, you know. And we decided to save some money towards it. And part of it was just some change that we had rolled, that we had just been accumulating, you know. We save change, amen. I have a little jug, and we throw the change in it, praise God. We always call it our vacation fund, although we never use it to go on vacation. But, you know, we have used it for a lot of times. We've sewed it in the church, and we've never been without a vacation. Just food for thought, but I'll give that to you, praise the Lord. But we throw it in our vacation fund. We call it that. My wife reminded me of that one day. So I was preparing to get ready for this investment, you know, and then all of a sudden it was actually that conversation with that sister that I was telling you about, which inspired this message. And I got in a conversation with her, and she said, you know what? She said, we have never been on a vacation, since her kids have been alive, really since they were married. And they're not necessarily a family that you would think couldn't go on a vacation. You'd think they could go somewhere, you know what I mean? Drive nice vehicles, they have decent jobs and stuff, but they just their money has always had to go other places, amen? This is why it's important not to judge when you don't know, amen? But at any rate, as I was driving away from her, in my heart I knew that I had to give her $50 out of that. Praise the Lord. And so my wife and I told my wife, and we talked, and we saw her at church, and we went up to her and just said, here, you know, this was in the Jamestown church. And we went up to her and we said, here, the Lord put this on our heart. We just want to sow into your vacation. So this is seed towards your vacation. Amen. Moved to tears. Absolutely moved to tears by it. But, you know, that's my point. It's like, this is how we need to. We need to be open. See, like, I was going to use that for our own investment. Well, I did use it for our investment. Praise the Lord. Because what does the Bible say? In Luke 6:38, it says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men pour into your bosom. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Where is He going to direct your paths? To bigger thinking. But see, a lot of times God will put something in somebody's heart, and they'll be like, oh, I can't do that. How many times has that happened? I know it's happened to me a lot. God's put something really big on my heart, and I've said, Lord, I just can't. I don't have the ability. See, that's where my faith stopped. When God puts something on your heart you can't do, that's because He wants to do that through you. And He's going to do it. You understand what I'm saying? When God puts something on your heart, He wants to do it through you. And so if he wants to do it through you, then there's got to be a supply. But if you think small, you'll never walk in it. You'll never walk in it. Praise the Lord. My pastor preached a message called Love the Offering. I love that. And one of the things, he's talked about many times, and he's there, I'm there, but we daydream about paying off the church by ourselves. Absolutely. I daydream about doing it. Do you know it's a good thing that God doesn't bless me so I can right now? Because God knows that the first thing I would do, if I got the money to do it, he knows the first thing I'd do is pay off this building. But he gives us all an opportunity to hook our faith up. Yeah, absolutely. It would be a detriment if God just dropped that money in my lap right now so I could pay off the church, because then nobody else could get connected with it. Why? Because faith works. Faith works as you're working it. That's where God, the blessing of God comes after you operate in faith. Everything with God is after you. He's already done it, but everything is going to work after you step out. It will never work. If you're going to sit around waiting for God to plop it in your lap, you are going to sit around till Jesus comes back, and then you're going to stand before Jesus. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? You'll say to him, I was waiting for you, and he said, I gave it to you all along. I gave it to you right from the beginning, and you never walked in it. You never stepped into it. You never walked into everything that I had you because you didn't step out. Praise the Lord. I was waiting for you, God. He's like, no, I was waiting for you. He said, I already did. Why do you think in 1 Peter 2:24, it says that by his stripes you were healed? Because healing has already happened. If you're sitting around waiting to be healed in your mind, if you're like, I'm waiting to be healed, you won't get it. Why? Because you're waiting for something that's already happened. You have no faith in it. See, you were healed. Well, it hasn't manifested yet. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't always manifest first. The believing has to come first. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trusting God is not believing. Oh, praise God. We've already been there. So it says, I put it down. I got to go back there. Proverbs, is it up? Proverbs, where were you? 3, 5, and 6. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Okay, I did move on. Praise the Lord. So go back to Psalm there, 37. Trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And do good. Now see, these are instructions here for us. Number one, trust in the Lord. Praise God. And do good. So you got to trust God and do good. That is the first part. If we want to ever get to the place of getting the desires of our hearts, we have to start with first things first. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is the instruction. Trust in the Lord, do good. It's easy to say God is good. It's another thing to believe God is good. It is easy to say I trust in the Lord, and then it's another thing to actually trust in him. How do we know if we're trusting in God? The test is when the test comes. Where you are when the test comes, or how you go through the test, determines on whether or not you trust him or not. When the pressure of life comes on you, do you start bailing on God? Do you start saying it's just not working? Then you're not trusting God. You're not trusting God until when the winds blow, you just stand on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. It ain't moving until you're sleeping in the back of the boat. It ain't working until you're sleeping in the back. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do good. We have to do good. What is good? There's a lot of people in this world. My wife and I were talking about this. A lot of people won't come to Jesus because they think, I'm a good person. Listen, do good is not do good the way the world says. Do good is what God says. What God says is good. Praise God. That's why we encourage people to live according to the word. That's doing good. Amen? Praise God. I love this next part. Dwell in the land. This is another part of the instruction. Dwell in the land. Live there. You live in the place where God has you, and don't be all upset by it. Listen, some people, Pastor Michael is a great example of this. The man absolutely hates winter. He hates it. He hates snow. I mean, we all, a lot of people don't like snow. This man despises the cold. He wants it. He wants it boiling hot. Oh, praise the Lord. I went on the bear hunt with him. And he stoked up the fire before he went to bed. And about five of us came out of sleep feeling like we just entered hell. Hallelujah. I mean, it was so hot. We all woke up. I mean, it was almost simultaneously. We all woke up. We're like, we were coming up and just sweating. Some people are running to the doors and the windows. He had stoked up the fire so hot. He was comfortable. Praise the Lord. We were not. Amen. But you know something? He does not complain. He loves living here. Why? Because he's doing the work of the Lord. He's where God has him. He doesn't care what it looks like. Amen. That is what where we need to get. Dwell in the land. There's so many people would skip over this part of the scripture and they forget. Dwell where God has you. There is nothing wrong with dwelling where God has you. What if where God where you're at right now is not is kind of impoverished? That's right. Dwell there, because as you do good, as you live there, as you learn to trust God, He's going to turn that around. Do you know why God did this to Christians and then sent us out? Because Jesus sent his disciples out. He said, I'm sending you out with nothing. He said, those who will receive you, stay there and minister to them and bless them. And those who will not receive you, he said, wipe off the dust of your feet kick off the dust off your feet as you leave the town. He sent them with nothing. They went into towns and said, hey, you guys got to support us while we're here. Yeah, you guys got to, we're going to preach the word to you. And that was what they were supposed to do. And he said, those who wouldn't receive, those who wouldn't pay their way. He said, say see you later. It'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in those days than it will be for them. That's what he said. He sent them out. Why? Because when God sends people out, he sends them out with a purpose to change something. This church is not here just to have church. This is here to change those who want to be changed. Praise God. This is the bigger thinking. Amen? That's what we're here for. If you come to a church like this and you just think the same way you always did, you'll stay where you always... You know, Pastor Michael said this all the time, and I love it. He says, if you do what you always did, you'll have what you always got. And that's the truth. If you do what you always did, you're always going to get what you always got. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So dwell in the land, and this is so important. We're going to get into this. Feed on His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Praise God, hallelujah. Feed. What is it to feed? I looked at word. I came out. I was taking a nap. I came out. I love napping when I'm preparing for a service, and I'm going to tell you why. Because almost every time I do, I will come out of sleep and I got something burning on my heart, and that's what happened to me today. I'm laying on a couch in our back room, and the window's open because it was a nice afternoon. Amen. I'm just laying there, just kind of. I wasn't really sleeping. I was just kind of resting, you know. But I kind of doze off, and all of a sudden, you know, I learned something here. This is so good. Praise God. I can't wait to give this to you. All of a sudden, I was like, feed on His faith. I woke up with feed on His faithfulness. What is that, to feed on His faithfulness? Amen? And so I looked this word up. The word feed literally means to graze. It means to graze. Hallelujah. When you think about grazing, what do you think about? Cows, right? Most people think about cows. What do cows do? Their heads are always down, aren't they? What are they doing? They're grazing. And what is a cow doing when it's grazing? It's eating, right? And how is it doing it? Does it eat and then set? No, it's eating. That's what they do, right? Right? They just continually eat, right? They never had to stop. They lay in the stuff they eat. Amen? They sit in the stuff they eat. They do other stuff in the stuff they eat, but they just keep eating. Amen? They don't stop. Grazer, one who grazes never gets hungry. Why? Because they're always filling their body. They're always filling it. Think about this. Feed on His faithfulness. Graze. The word literally means to graze. Amen? I wrote this down. Most people gorge when they are hungry. You ever been there? You've ever been so hungry that you just gorge? I remember watching this show about... It was about when they went into the concentration camps during World War II as it was ending, and they were, you know, making ground in Germany, and they went in and they found the Jewish people, and they were skin and bones. It was just like literally it was bones with skin draped over them. And the soldiers felt so horrible for them, they started feeding them. You know, and then in those people, they had barely had anything to eat, so they start gorging on this food. They just start taking in, one of the medics actually stopped them and said, you can't do that. You can't give them just because they'll eat themselves to death now, because that's the place they got to, you know. That's not what this is doing. That's what most people do when they're hungry. You know, when you're hungry, you eat, and all of a sudden you're full, and then you stop. But this isn't the view that we're getting here of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to graze. We're supposed to feed on His faithfulness. Amen. Feed on His word. Faithful. What's His faithfulness? It's His truth. His faithfulness is what is the truth about God. We're supposed to graze on that. You just stay in it all the time. Do you know, this is what I got today as I was getting up, is that fellowshipping with God sometimes is just grazing on his faithfulness. It's just spending time thinking about God and how good he is. Yeah, just thinking about what he wants to do in your life. Thinking big. Oh, praise God. What most people do, praise the Lord. What most people, I want to say this first. When was the last time you grazed on his promises? When was the last time that you just, you know, when you're just feeling down and stuff, you just open the Bible and start looking at what he promised his people? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you just grazed on it? Just sat there throughout the day. You know, you have attacks coming. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness. When was the last time when you dealt with sickness that you sat there and just got into healing scriptures and just grazed on them? Just ate a little bit all the time. Do you know something? I have this book. I've given it to a few of you. But I have this book. It's a daily devotional of healing, about healing. It just takes about 10 seconds or 30 seconds to read at the most every day. You know, I've been doing it since about the beginning of the year. I'm going to tell you something. I have felt so good this year, better than I ever have. I have been around extreme sickness, and it hasn't touched me. I've just been grazing on it. I learned something in that. I'm just going to keep doing it. Why? Because it's getting in me, and I hope if I gave you it, you're doing it. Praise the Lord. Because God had me give it to you for a reason. Praise God. Praise the Lord. My mom will tell me, because I gave it to her too, and my mom sometimes in the morning, she said, did you read your devotional this morning? You know, just like a good mama. Hallelujah. You been eating? Amen. You know what I'm saying? You've been eating. Hallelujah. Yep, mama, I've been eating. Praise the Lord. People will be kept awake at night with worry. They are grazing in the wrong field. People worry about what am I going to do? How am I going to get this bill paid? How am I going to get through? How am I going to get to the other side? They're grazing in the wrong field. Come over to your father's field. You remember the 23rd Psalm? It said he'll lead us beside still waters and green pastures. That's the pasture you want to be grazing in, right? Isn't that where you want to be? How many churches have this cross stitch somewhere in the church? How many old church ladies are sitting there cross stitching this to put it on doilies and pillows and everything else? The 23rd Psalm, it's so wonderful, it's so great. And yet everybody in the church thinks that God wants them sick and defeated and poor. They're not thinking big because they're not thinking like God. He wants you to graze on his faithfulness. Oh, we got so much good to get into. We're still not there yet. Amen? People will be kept up at night. What if you stayed up at night? If you're staying up at night, you're kept up. I've been there. Listen, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to take care of this? Praise the Lord. How about if we just start feeding on his faithfulness in that moment? Praise the Lord. You don't need sleeping pills. What you need is a graze on the right food. Amen? Daydreaming of a different life is the devil's trick to get you stuck. Daydreaming of what you don't or what you don't have won't bless you. Imagining what God has for you will. Hallelujah. Sitting there thinking over and over. You know what people do? I remember I used to work in a factory. I hated it. And what I did every single day, I thought about ways to get out. I was trying to scheme this way to get out and this way to get out. How can I get beyond this? How can I make more money? How can I do this? And then I learned how to graze on the Lord. I learned to graze in faithfulness. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a lot of times I don't even ask for what I need or what I want. Things that I want, it just comes. Here's opportunity. Go ahead and take it. Yeah, that's what the Lord does. Do you realize that? That's what it will be. You'll start desiring something, and all of a sudden the Lord will open a door. Praise the Lord. He will open a door for you to walk in and grab it and take it. That's as easy as it is. But we have to trust. See, this is trusting God. Because if you don't trust God, you'll never do this. If you don't believe God, you'll never do this. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this as I woke up, and I started thinking about, you know, this kind of line of thinking, and I thought about, have you ever seen the movie Princess Bride? You remember that movie? I love that movie. It's one of my all-time favorites. I love that movie. But if you haven't seen it, there's this one scene where the main character, Wesley, he's sword fighting with Inigo Montoya. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, people. You know that guy, right? Praise the Lord. And there's one point in this sword fight where they're going back and forth, and they're having this conversation. They're going back and forth. And the man in black, as they call him, Wesley, he said to him, why are you smiling? And he says, because I know something you don't know. I love that. I know something you don't know. You know something? When the devil, when you're in a fight with the devil, when he's trying to take something from you, how about just smile and have him ask you, because I know something you don't know. You think about that. Yeah, the next time the devil's trying to say something, take something from you, just sit back and smile and say, ah, I know something you don't know. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because I have the Holy Spirit. My thoughts are bigger than your thoughts. Hallelujah. I have the Holy Spirit. My ways are bigger than your ways. See, devil, you can pull out whatever you want to pull out, but my thoughts are bigger than yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Aren't you tired of grazing on garbage? Aren't you tired of feeding on the stuff? All the stuff of life? Aren't you tired of feeding on what the doctor said? No offense. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you. You don't get tired of what the doctor said, but the rest of us can get tired of what the doctor said. Hallelujah. Unless you're talking good. But this doctor says good things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, aren't you tired of feeding on all the negativity? You know, you turn on the news, it's all negativity. I don't care which channel you look at, it's negative. You get on Facebook, negative, 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 negative. Praise the Lord. Social media, negative, negative, negative. You get it everywhere you look, it's negative, negative, negative. How about grazing on what God has for us? This country was built by God for a reason. Do you realize if his people would realize that? Do you realize what would happen in this country? God, everywhere God's Spirit was prospered. Every time God was with his people, and God was always with his people as they allowed him in, but every time God was with his people, they prospered. Do you realize the temple of God that he had the Jews build was coated with gold? It was made of the finest stone, and they had gems and all this stuff. Do you realize the people brought that? The people brought that. What if pastor said to you, hey, you know what? I like the sanctuary, but I'd like it a lot better if we sheeted it with gold. And then some of you just say, you know what? That's right. It should be. It's the house of God. I'm going to bring my share. Pastor, I'm going to cheat this wall in gold. How many of you could do that? See, that's what the blessing of the Lord is. That's what God wants for us. That's what God has for us. Praise the Lord. He wants us so abundantly. When the Jews, when they left their captivity because they followed the man of God, when they left their captivity, the people who formerly held them captive loaded them up with gold and silver. Do you realize that? They just said, here, take this and go. Just take it and go. Get out of here. Why? Because the fear of God will come on people when God is with you. But see, God isn't with people that don't trust him. See, this is what we have to learn. We have to get to that place where true trust is. We're not going to get there overnight. I'm not expecting you to take this message and just necessarily be doing 100%. I'm expecting you to have a desire stoked in you to say, you know what, this is the way I want to go. Amen? Because we're going to keep preaching this kind of stuff. We're going to keep going in that direction. Amen? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for conversations that I have when I'm dropping my daughter off? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know we're getting like far into it, but we got to go because there's so much more. Ephesians 3:8. I'm not going to do it all, but you guys can make it through it. Praise God. I have faith in you. Bigger thinking. Amen? When I came in today, I really meant that was going to mean you're going to have to think about a longer service. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But yeah, we'll get there. Ephesians 3:8. We're going to read through verse 20. Look at this. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. This is what Paul saying this. He was less than the least of all the saints. So he didn't look at himself as anything major, even though Paul was unarguably the greatest Christian that ever lived. Amen. But he called himself the least of all the saints. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches of Christ. Is this financial? Absolutely. But not just. Financial would be such a small part of it. And yet so many people are focused. So, you know, this is a truth. Why do we preach a lot about finances? Because most people are hindered by their finances. Most people, they will pick a job that will take them away from church, and they'll do it. That's thinking about finances over church. That's thinking about finances over God. It most certainly is. Why? Because if you're in the will of God, he will supply everything. But see, this is what he was supposed to preach was the among the Gentiles was the unsearchable riches of Christ. Guess what you are? You're a Gentile. I said, you're a Gentile. You are a Jew, right? Right? The last I checked, most of you weren't Jews, probably. I'm not a Jew. Pray, well, a little bit, I guess. The DNA, according to the DNA, we got a little bit in me. Pray, very little. Not enough to claim anything, but I'm a child of God, so that doesn't matter. Hallelujah. But the unsearchable riches. This applies to every area in life, is what the unsearchable riches are. That God is so rich. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in love. He's a giver. He so loved the world that he gave. And if he gave that, the Bible tells us, Romans 8:32, he'll give us all things because that shows us what he was willing to give. Amen? The unsearchable riches. You can't even begin to put an end to it. They're unsearchable. Amen? I believe we'll spend eternity in heaven learning what the unsearchable riches are. Hallelujah. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It's supposed to be known to the church. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. That's really important there to understand that. We have boldness and access. What's boldness? Boldness knows what's theirs. When you're bold, you know. You're bold because you know. There's very few people that don't know that are also bold. When you're bold, you know. This is mine. This belongs to me. If I came home and somebody else was sitting on my couch, I'd be bold. Why? Because I know it's mine. It's not theirs, right? If you came, you know, praise God. You know, when you come out and you get in your car, if you ever had somebody ever get in the wrong car or something, you're not near as bold as you were when you were getting in, were you? You actually kind of get out in a real big hurry, don't you? Why? Because you don't have much confidence in that, right? Boldness and access with what? Confidence. Confidence is knowing that it's an absolute. You're absolutely sure. And what is that through? Where does it come through? Faith in him. Faith that Jesus was Lord? No. Yes, but not just that. Faith that Jesus saved us from death? Yes, but not just that. Faith in him, who God is, everything that is him. That his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. When you're sitting there, see, the reason that Christians worry is because they haven't realized yet that God already knows the answer. If you knew that God has the answer, and you knew that he was on your side, and you knew that he was inside you, then you should know that you also have the answer. What problem are you going to go through in life? You know, it's so amazing to me. Every time we have a trial in life, and we get past it, and down the road, we look back at it, we think, wait a minute, I got through that. Didn't you have times in your life where you didn't think you were going to make it? I want to see a show of hands, really, real quick, a show of hands. Was there ever, if you've ever had a moment, split second in your life, where you thought you weren't going to make it? Pretty much like everybody, right? Amen, hallelujah. Sophia didn't raise her hand. She didn't know yet, amen? And she ain't ever going to know. Why? Because she's raised in a good church, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, we have all had that place where we didn't, but you made it, didn't you? How do I know that? Because you were here raising your hand, amen? Didn't somebody drag you in here dead and raise your hand for you? No, you raised your hand. Amen? This is our God. Our God, see, our God is up in heaven, way above 35,000 feet, looking down on us, and we're fretting and scrambling, you know, praise the Lord. I hear Bette Midler singing in the background, you know, from a distance, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But we're all fretting and scrambling around, and God's like, if you would just look up. If you just look up, look to me and get, or first look down and then look up, praise the Lord, and then you would start realizing that all of this fret was for no, it was just the devil. Yeah. Fret and worry is always of the devil. Jesus said, don't worry. Worry is of the devil. It's a sin. It's just as big a sin as anything else. Think bigger. We need to think bigger. We need to get to a place where we are thinking beyond the trial all the time. If we are always focusing on the trial, we're completely missing it. The trial is meant to get you to focus on the trial. Praise the Lord. That's what it's there for. The trial, listen, I'm going to tattoo this on your forehead. This is real good right now. So every day you wake up, you look in the mirror, and you say, wait a minute. The trial is meant to get you to focus on the trial. Yeah. and away from God. But when you focus on God, there is no trial. Why? Because there's nothing God can't do. There's nothing God can't, there's no mountain he can't blow over. There's no mountain that he can't get past. Why do you think he sent his son to give us access, the Holy Ghost access? He didn't give us access. He gave the Holy Ghost access to us so the Holy Ghost could come live on the inside. God is on the inside. Are you ready, willing, and able to direct you out of your trial? Praise God. Well, I'm afraid of that Holy Ghost business. Well, there you go. I'm afraid to pray in tongues. Well, there you go. You're missing that. Here's your answer. Praise the Lord. I have some people in my church. Love them all. I love you all. Love you with all my heart. I honestly do. But I got some people in my church that aren't here tonight that have been in contact with me about over the course of time about the trials that they face. And they are afraid of the things that I talk to them about. They're afraid of the stepping into the Holy Ghost because God, that's the unknown. Wait, do you want to stay in your known? I don't know about you, but my known before I was in church wasn't a very good known. I don't want to know that no more. I want to know something else. I was ready to move on. That's why when somebody started telling me about the Holy Ghost, I was like, yeah, tell me about that. Because I see it working in you, and I just don't like where I've been. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, people think that they can just come to church, sit there, and hear the word, walk out, and somehow that's going to change your life. The Bible says those people are deceived. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where were we? Access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Praise God. But so many Christians are like, I don't want the spirit stuff. I don't want all that. That's what strengthens you. Yeah. Praying in the Holy Spirit strengthens you. Yeah. So when you're weak, start praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You say, well, I only did it once. I think maybe just continue to do it. Yeah. It'll strengthen you. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. We ain't done yet, though. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, see, all this stuff works together, right? May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord, and we are not done yet. Hallelujah. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can think. Think big. Think big. Why? Because by the very nature of this scripture, if you can think big, he's got to go bigger. He's got to be bigger than you can think. Why? Because his thoughts are up here. Think big. Don't think small anymore. Don't think about your bills. Think about building mansions. Hallelujah. Daydream about paying off the church. Daydream about walking up to people and handing them $1,000. Daydream about buying people's groceries. Hallelujah. If that's who you are, if you're sitting in that place, you don't sit there thinking about what you don't have. You think about who your God is. Start getting your believer bigger. Amen. We need a world of Christians running around doing this kind of stuff, because when they do, then the world is full. Hallelujah. And nobody can deny it, because they're looking, they're saying, wait a minute here. How is that person moving from, my God, my God. See, this is my God, so much bigger than I can think. Hallelujah. So I've been thinking big. Praise God. I will use this example again, and it's so important. When we started this church, I couldn't imagine how we could get into a building. I couldn't imagine it. When we knew we were going to move to this town, I couldn't imagine how we were going to buy a house here. I couldn't imagine it. The first house we bought was $28,000, and we had everything we could do to afford that. I couldn't imagine living it anymore. When we sold our house, when we bought this house here, we thought in our heart of hearts, we were like, and God was just showing his goodness to us. We were like, how we're never going to be able to go out to eat again. We'll never be able to do anything again. But we were in this house. Praise the Lord. I've done more in the last year than I ever have in my life. Hallelujah. And I say this not as a slight against this church or anything else. It's by choice. My pay has not increased. I have made no more money to do it. You understand? This is the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. He gets us through. Why? Because we trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Last year, our lawnmower quit. 2 years ago, our furnace went. 2 weeks before Christmas, praise the Lord. We had to pay for it. We had to take care of it, right? We didn't fret. We didn't cry. We didn't scream. We just trust God. Why? Because he moved me here. See, this is why you dwell in the land. Because when you dwell where God has you, then you know there has to be a supply because he put you there. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't send my kids somewhere and then not take care of them. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't send you out and say, hey, I'm not going to take care of you. You know, Jesus sent them out with nothing. That doesn't mean he didn't take care of them. His faith went with them. His ability went with them. Hallelujah. What was Jesus' ability? Well, I need some more bread. Here, let's feed a bunch of people. Hallelujah. That's big thinking. Hallelujah. Big thinking is like, wait a minute, this ain't right. And this is what I want you to get out of this. This, if nothing else, think about this through this message. If nothing else, that you need to, if it's not big thinking, it's not of God. And so if you're doing it, you need to just change it. See, this is what, it's not going to change necessarily overnight for most of you, but the way it will change is as you make adjustments. Wait a minute, you'll recognize that thought ain't right. That isn't of God. Get rid of that thought. I ain't thinking anymore. Kick it out. That's the way it works. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to share a couple more scriptures with you. Praise God. Just a few more. I'm just going to have them come. Exodus 1:7. Praise God. Just write it down. Look at it later. It says, but the children of Israel, that's God's people, were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. That's what God means by be fruitful and multiply. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. Praise the Lord. I do have to turn there because I don't have it right open. 2 Corinthians 9, I'll just read it real quick. Have a quick point to make. 9:7-8. Praise God. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, what he's saying here is, so let each one of you give as he purposes. You need to purpose to give. You need to purpose. You do it according to what's on your heart. So you start purposing. Wait a minute, I want to be a big giver. So you need to, that's how you bigger your thinking. I want to give more. I want to be able to walk. There's one of the things I love to do. I love to do. It's one of my favorite things to do. Is what's called a Pentecostal handshake. I love to walk up to people and give Pentecost. That's where you go give them a handshake and there's some money in it. Whether it's five, it could be $5, $10, praise the Lord, or it could be $100. It could be a couple $100. It doesn't matter what it is. That's a Pentecostal handshake. We need to be people that are Pentecostal handshake givers. And I'm not just talking about to the pastor. I'm talking about to anybody. I'm saying you see somebody on your heart and you feel a blessing in you. You know what happens to me when I look at somebody and there's something like blessing comes on me? You know, like in my spirit, like I just feel blessed, something about them. You know what the first thing I want to do is? Give them money. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. I turned around. I was in the special meetings. I turned around. And there was this little boy back there. Praise God. Just right behind me. I turned around. He was just there worshiping God and stuff. And he just I don't know. I just turned around. He blessed me. I reached in my pocket, gave him money. Why? Because he blessed me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Put your money where your mouth is, right? Praise God. But see, as you purpose, God sees that you go because he's exceedingly abundantly above. And so as you purpose in your heart to go higher, he gives you the ability to. But you got to step out and do that. Sometimes you will, like a lot of times, the Pentecostal handshake I've given somebody was my last. It was my last $5, my last $10. Praise the Lord. It was meant for something else. It was not for something for me. You know, husbands, listen up. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I would tell my family when they asked me what I want for my birthday, I always told them I just want money because I can do things with money. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so what I would do often when for like years, I would get my birthday money and it was just on my heart. I'd look at my wife, I just want to bless her with it. I say, here, go shopping. Amen? Yeah, give it. I've never gone without. I've never gone without. I could have spent that on so many things. But also, I created an environment of giving. I created an environment of blessing that went far beyond just the financial needs. I still got what I wanted eventually, but by the sacrifice and the giving it and blessing my wife, because my Bible says that where your heart is, your treasure will be there also. Amen? Praise the Lord. Faith is a creative action. As a man purposes, let him bring forth. God will give you the desires of your heart if your heart is right before him. If your heart is right before. If you have the right heart, God will give you the desires of your heart. He doesn't care. God does not. In fact, he wants you to. I want you to. This is an example in the Bible. There's very little known about this guy except for like two verses. That's all there. Two or three verses is all that's written about him. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. We're getting right close to the end. But I just want you to see it. Praise the Lord. Don't turn there. It'll take you a minute to find it. The man's name was Jabez. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Look at what it says. He was more honorable than his brothers. He was more honorable than his brothers. What does that mean? An honorable person seeks to do what's right. Seeks to be right before the Lord, amen, and does what's right. Not just seek it, but does it, amen. So he was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, this is all that we know about Jabez. I want you to see this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Bless me greatly. Bless me greatly. Oh, that you would bless me. I kept hearing. That's why I put it in here. I kept hearing that. Bless me greatly. That's the big thinking. Go before God and say, oh, Lord, I just want my bills paid. No, bless me greatly. Hallelujah. You know, a man told me once, he said, you know, I just every once in a while, he's like, I'll lift up a prayer to all those kids that are in like children's hospital and suffering from cancer. And I say, Lord, just give them one good night. Like, what kind of prayer is that? Give them one good night? What kind of stuff? He thought he was doing a real good job by that. What kind of prayer is that? How about getting into the place where you say, hey, where you can walk up to? This man, God bless him. I love him. And he's a sweet man, but he just doesn't have much knowledge. And he's kind of stuck in his way of thinking. See, if you get stuck, you'll stay. And he's supposed to be in this church, but he won't come. Praise the Lord. He's got to be in his own church. He's got to be in the church, the dead church, where you know, his family went and all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Well, see, this church teaches people to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How about if you build that faith and you ain't praying some stupid prayer like bless them one night? I can't, you know, one night. What does one night mean? How about laying hands on him and getting it cured? Hallelujah. But see, this power of God can't flow until God's people are taking it to the world. It can't just, it's not just going to, it will trickle, but until we take it, until we just pour out, amen? Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So enlarge my territory and your hand would be with me. If God's hand's with you, how many know that's good? And look what it says here in the end. So God granted him what he requested. Why? Because he got his thinking bigger. He biggered his thinking. Hallelujah. And God met him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to end with this. Psalm 19:14. You know the scripture. I've read it before. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart. What are you thinking about? What are you putting in you? Are you meditating? That's the same as feeding, you know. That's the same as grazing. Are you grazing on the goodness of God, or are you grazing on the trials? Are you grazing on the goodness of God, or are you grazing on all the problems that you have to face? Are you grazing on the goodness of God, or are you worried about how you're going to make it? See, it's all about where you are. If you want more from God, then you need to get your meditating right. You need to start thinking about the Word. You need to start thinking about the truth of the Word. You need to get it in you. And you need to be willing to think bigger. Amen? Go before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord? We need it bigger. We need it more. And not just because I want more. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a little secret right now. I do not pray for my own things anymore. I don't. I just don't. Every once in a while, if there's something special I want, I might put that before the Lord, but I don't spend any time on it whatsoever. Why? Because as I put forth my faith toward the things of God, He blesses me. He blesses me indeed. He increases me, and He brings me the desires of my heart. I didn't got to ask for that. It says He'll give you the desires of your heart. It didn't say you have to ask for them. He says He'll just give them to you. He will give them to you, right? Praise the Lord. So if you're spending your time just on your own stuff, you start releasing it for the church. Lord, we need this building finished. Lord, we need to get into our next building if that's what we're called to do. Lord, we need to expand the sea. We need more people to come in. Praise the Lord. We need people to get faithful. Lord, I pray that the people. That's why we're starting to do prayer services. Amen. Lord, we pray for the people and that they get it, that they understand it. Lord, praise God. Hallelujah. And as you do that, as you bigger your thinking, God is going to bigger you. He's going to increase you, and the people are going to look at you and they're going to think, "Wow, I want some of that." Amen. That's what's going to draw them in.